If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Everybody. Yeah. Doug it on me. Yeah. Give them shirts now. Yeah. Hook that shit right up.
Yeah. I don't know. I could have done better.
T-shirt time.
It is t-shirt time.
Give away some t-shirts. T-shirt time.
Can we do underwear soon?
What?
Well, ooh. If you design them, Adam, we can do it.
Wait a minute.
Thongs. For
Wait
all.
A minute.
Why everyone gives t-shirts away? Let's be different.
That's fucking.
Or socks.
No.
Socks or underwear?
Underwears is brilliant. You know why?
Because then we get to see.
Because people would post them on Instagram and they're wearing their fucking mind pump underwear. Yeah. Right?
True.
And then we get to see people in their underwear.
Yeah.
Double win.
We are freaks.
Of the industry.
Maybe we should start with socks.
Okay. If you want underwear, yeah, flood our Instagram. Let us know you want mind pump underwear.
Can you tell our t-shirt team guys, can you ask them about that?
I will.
Can I ask them if
they can do that? We'll see if we can do that.
Socks or underwear. Either one of those are open.
They have to be bikini underwear.
The only thing with underwear, I feel like underwear, there's going to be, I guess there is with t-shirts, right? There's going to be a ton of different sizes. I guess we'll have, I guess it's not no different,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
We'll look into it.
They got to swaddle Sal's balls.
Yeah.
Swaddle.
He made that very clear.
I do like that.
Yeah. We are going to give some t-shirts, but unfortunately, I don't know what's going on here, but we're getting fewer reviews.
It was venereal disease weekend. That's why.
Oh, that's right. Valentine's weekend.
Yeah. Listeners, we need you to leave reviews.
More reviews.
Because if you don't.
We need you.
If you don't, we're going to kill a puppy. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We're not going to kill
him. It's not going to work for us.
Doug, that's Doug's nervous laugh. Sal, don't get us in trouble.
You're crazy.
We're not going to kill a puppy.
No,
but we do
no
need a review.
Will die.
We do need more reviews. Please leave us some awesome reviews. Take your friend's phone, leave one on there.
Yeah.
Steal a phone. I don't care. Give it back, though.
But yeah, make sure you leave it. Get your mom to put one down.
Yeah. Your mom likes us anyway. Yeah, you know she does.
She listens in the corner.
We're going to give away two shirts today. The first one is to Jenny May Lisa Lee.
Oh, winner.
Jenny.
And we got Kara 2014.
Kara 2014.
Yes. So both of you, please send over your iTunes name, your shirt size, your address to mindpumpradio@gmail.com.
And before we forget, let's remind people how to leave reviews because it's hard to get to sometimes. You go on the podcast icon, go on the search function. Type in Mind Pump. So even if you subscribe, you still got to do it this way. Type in Mind Pump. Icon will come up. You click on the icon. Then you'll see reviews. Click on reviews. Then you can leave a review.
And that's for the iPhone, right?
That's for the iPhone.
That's how you do it?
That's how you do it.
Oh, shit.
All right, everyone. More reviews for this next week, please.
We love it.
Beef it up. If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mind Pump.
Mind Pump Radio.
This is the fitness show starring Sal DiStefano.
The hottest fitness show on radio.
Adam Schaefer.
Woo woo.
And Justin Andrews.
Take me to the rhythm of the moment and the glory lights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've unleashed the pipes.
Everybody got a boner.
Yeah.
You get a boner.
You get a boner. Doug's got a boner. It's raging.
Boner.
Everybody's got boners.
Now let's use them.
You went too far.
Too far. My bad.
Adam, you got a lot of energy, bro.
You know
why
what?
You have so much energy?
So, you know, I was experimenting with some drugs the other day.
What? What?
That's a good thing to tell the kids.
Fuck that, dude. I'm pissed off right now.
What?
You didn't give any to me and Justin.
Hello.
Right here, bro.
This should be a disclaimer in this one, Doug, for sure. we're talking about grown-ups, everybody who's 30 and above. If you're younger than
anybody under 18,
close your ears.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't start experimenting with drugs till I got older.
17.
When I thought I could just keep them all in control. So, which is obviously I'm not, because I'm still experimenting.
So, this is the worst fitness show on the fucking
No. Listen, we're going somewhere with this. I promise.
Okay,
we're going somewhere. So,
I'm waiting.
No, I've never been diagnosed with it, with ADD, but I believe I have it.
Can I just interject real quick? You do. Go ahead. Continue.
when I first,
that's my professional
when
opinion.
When I first got into the cannabis clubs, in my late 20s, early 30s, and started doing that, and I started experimenting with cannabis. One of the things I fell in love with was, you know, at night it was the first thing that I'd ever tried that like settled my brain down. And I'd done like the Tylenol PMs and all the pills and drugs stuff like that, and it was just. Ugh, it made me feel terrible. Mm-hmm. Like I'd just be groggy the next day, and I felt like I kept having to add more to the prescription, which is like I knew that was all bad. So, and then when cannabis was introduced to me, and I learned about the strains and the different types and how to use it for purposes like that, I fell in love with it. I was like, oh my God, I could sleep, I could relax, my brain could just like kind of shut down, and I kind of get dumb, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not great for me throughout the day. I can't smoke weed. I'm not functional. People would think I'm retarded talking to them. So mm-hmm. It's something that I stay away from during the daytime, unless I'm around family. It's a weekend. It's a vacation for me. Maybe I'll indulge in the afternoon with buddies or friends or people that I trust. So that was my first experiment with something like that. We were joking when we first started. I'm not somebody, I was the kid who didn't have sex, didn't have to do drugs, didn't do any of that stuff growing up through
boring.
High school.
He was a boring ass kid.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. Nerdy athlete kid, didn't do any of that stuff. As I got older, then I became more interested. And once I got into fitness and health and science, then there was certain things that, you know, just because society says this is all bad, this is that I thought, well, you know, just because they say it's all bad, why don't I do my own research and find out, you know, exactly what happens to the body and if this is something that I'd be looking for. So that's led me to other fantastic drugs of trying these things out and seeing what works and what doesn't work for me. So recently, getting to this...
He met a devil woman.
Getting to the climax.
That was a lot of
let's be honest.
Getting to the climax of the story. And like I said earlier when I first started that I, you know, I think I have ADD, although I've never been diagnosed. So my friend, he's like, hey, you know, have you ever tried Ritalin before?
Ritalin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So... I said
I just,
no.
Like, imagine this really smiley guy, like, hey,
yeah, right. And
hey, Adam,
is that why you're doing your homework right now?
Yeah. So I did. I took one, and you know what I noticed was I have this this ability to focus. You know, and I on whatever task was, it definitely put me in. I felt the energy from it for sure.
It's a methamphetamine, isn't it? I think it is.
Yeah.
Is it?
So, I think it's something like
no
that.
No idea.
Which also made me realize that, like, okay, this is something that I would most certainly not want to introduce into my life on a regular basis, like they prescribe it, mm-hmm. you know, because then I could see how addictive those properties
are. You just want to use it for fun.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I could see where, you know, for example, I'm excited. As we're right now, we're discussing another getaway with Mind Pump. We're talking about taking off for a weekend again so we can knock out some more work and release some more programs for you guys. And ooh. I can't wait to try that during that time because I think that...
What if it makes you an asshole?
Yeah.
Probably a little bit.
Really?
I think a little me being an asshole is good for the team, don't you think?
Well,
yeah. Yeah,
we have our safe space.
Usually it's Doug being an asshole, so yeah.
No,
then you'll be the asshole.
Not really. Doug, even Doug has a sweet way of being an asshole.
Yeah, he does. He's a sweet asshole.
Yeah, what do they say?
He's
the, what do they say, Doug?
Sweet, sugary asshole.
You're the iron fist with velvet gloves. Is that right?
Wow.
That sounds good.
Speaking of assholes.
Yeah.
So you had a good experience. You felt focused.
Yeah, I did. I did. I think it's definitely something.
There's nothing like self-diagnosis. You know,
you like that?
Yeah, because I do that shit all.
That was
the time.
Yeah. That was me, my feelings, and WebMD right there.
That was a long way of saying you tried Ritalin and you liked it.
Well, I wanted to preface because I know we're gonna lose some listeners because I know there's some mom listening right now and she's like, oh my God, I tell my son to listen to this show and now these kids that they're these guys that they look up to are gonna now they're my kids.
No, here's the thing: a disclaimer. Ritalin is it can be addictive. It actually is addictive. You can take it and become habit forming. You build up a tolerance. It can cause lots of problems. I think it's a methamphetamine, if I'm not mistaken. If it's not, it's similar to one. So it's definitely not something you want to play around with. But it's prescribed to kids. who have what's ADD
the other,
and stuff.
What's the other one that I knew there was this huge epidemic going on with college students? What were they taking?
Oh, what is it? The other one. Not Ritalin, but the
Adderall?
Adderall.
Adderall, yeah.
Adderall is
which
the other
is similar,
one.
Right?
Adderall and Ritalin are different but similar.
Well, and they take like beta blockers too to perform better. Like I've heard this for like musicians especially.
Oh, to get their heartbeat to slow down and chill. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they do this before like big tests or finals. And
well, it's interesting because some drugs have a
crazy
stigma.
Kids.
Some drugs have a stigma and others don't. You know, you could go to any pharmacy and buy, I mean, 80% of the stuff on the counter will kill you if you have too much of it. Tylenol is one of them. More people get sent to the hospital for Tylenol than almost anything else. Mm.
Yeah.
So it's pretty.
It's like all the failed attempts, you know, these kids eating too many of those things.
So that's why I was wondering why you look so energetic.
Focus is the word.
I'm sorry. You look focus, so focused.
Focus is the word I like
Stay
to
focused.
Use. Yeah.
Stay focused.
Yeah.
All right, Doug.
You know what that means.
I think it's time.
I think it is.
I think it's time for the motherfucking qual.
You stole my line, you piece of shit.
I took your line, dude.
You can't do that. You already stole the center.
motherfucking qual.
This guy stole the center.
Say it again. Go.
It's motherfucking qual time.
Yeah.
Motherfucking qual.
Bring it, Doug.
I've got it.
Hit me.
Bring the heat.
Hit it.
Fat, fit, Pat.
Ooh, whoa. I love that. That's a
great. Fat, fit, Pat. Fat, fit, Pat.
Hitting you.
Dr. Seuss wrote that. Biggest marketing mistakes new trainers make.
Mm. Here's the one that I see a lot of trainers do when they first start. Mm. And I'm laughing because I know I'm going to get into it with Adam. I know me and Adam are going to get into it.
Uh-oh.
It just, yeah. So, so here's what I see trainers doing, and I think it's a waste. But there's a way you can do it that it's not a waste.
Can I preface this? So,
go ahead.
Did you see this in 1980, 1990?
That what people doing this?
Yeah.
I see people doing it now and it's fucking stupid.
No way.
Because now I think it's silly to do flyers. I think it's silly to go put flyers on cars and to do door hangers throughout the whole fucking neighborhood.
I am going to fucking get
you. I just feel like
because
I've never seen that.
I've seen it now, and here's why. I think if you're handing out flyers and you're meeting people, great way to promote yourself. But most trainers don't. They don't want to meet people. They want to go fucking hide, like go be like a ninja, put a flyer in your car, run away and hope you call them.
Yeah.
And you're going to put out 1,000 of them and you're going to get
shit.
Can you
not read? Huh? Can you not read what it says?
Marketing mistake?
Biggest marketing mistake. You really think that's one of the biggest marketing mistakes they can possibly
make? I can't think of what else people do for marketing.
I should punch you in your cock right now. First of all.
What, newspaper ad?
You know, this is the part that's not fair about you, too.
Hit me in my cock.
No. Okay. This motherfucker has he has the ability to read something and be able to like regurgitate it right away. He memorized stuff like unreal. It's unreal to me. And I
Ritalin free.
No, listen.
Oh,
stupid dude. I know somewhere in one of my books, I read a perfect statistic for this, and I'm going to probably mutilate it, but I'm going to get the point across here to you guys. Cause I'm not as
78% of the time
with you.
It works all the time.
No. I mean, one of the rules with marketing is that before someone makes a purchase, they, on average, they have to see that 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even though, and here's another number for you too. They say there's a 1% return on, you know, tangible things like that, your flyers, your door hangers, pieces of paper like that. 1%. So that is a very, very small number.
Mm-hmm.
So I get where you're going with that. But one, it is a fucking return and it is still a numbers game. And somebody can be paid little money to go get out there and do it. And two, that's the second part that you're getting that, you're seeing this brand. You're seeing like Mind Pump. If I went out and I flyered, if I actually had the discipline every single day for the last year to flyer every car with Mind Pump stickers, I guarantee you every single person in that gym would there.
So
be
what you're saying is the rate of return for the time that you would have spent doing that all year would have been better than doing something else?
No, I'm not saying that. I didn't say it's the number one thing to do. I'm just debating you that it's not the biggest marketing mistake.
So what's your number one?
Yeah.
A biggest marketing mistake? I think a biggest marketing mistake someone can do is actually what's the word I want to say? Pigeonhole themselves into one way of thinking, which this I think is very common. And is one of the things that we are huge against, which is, you know, maybe doing like some multi-level marketing thing where you're part of what's a brand Avon or one of those, or what a fitness ones. What's a fitness one? Give me one that's
Herbalife.
Herbalife. Yeah. Perfect. You know what I'm saying? When you do that, you poison the rest of your career. Because you'll forever be known as the Herbalife guy.
That's
a
good point.
Like Monavi. Like I know guys that were like huge on Monavi and their trainers and they were pushing it like it's this miraculous thing and then the company goes bankrupt. And then that, and now you're forever tied.
You're
to
the Monavie trainer.
You're the trainer who was promoting something that was such a crock of shit that the company went bankrupt.
That's a good one. That's stupid.
So,
yeah, that is
so
stupid.
Tying yourself to gimmicks and tying yourself, that goes for any, like I said, there's, I can't think of all the names right off the top of my head, but there's lots of fitness ones right now where they do these, you know, you join the team and then you sell the program and then you get to be a part of the seminar at the end of the year.
Well,
and
it's like the beach body.
Yes, beach body is another
know,
one.
Things like that where it's like, you know, just shakes, you know.
Yes.
All you need to do is
yes,
do
Shakeology.
Shakes.
All these, like, if you're what? A trainer, tying yourself to something like this, I think is the biggest mistake you can make, because you know what? You better hope to God that you make your million. You're that 1% of the 1% of the 1% that actually makes a million bajillion dollars off of that.
Oh, and you have to work your ass off to make any money doing that stuff for them. You're making them a lot of money, by the way.
And then you forever taint yourself. Yeah. You forever taint yourself, and you'll spend the next 5 to 10 years, if you can actually last in the fitness industry still, trying to get rid of that stigma.
I think that's a great point. I think.
Boom, Sal.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, no, hold on.
It's a good one. Wait.
That,
let me see
Justin,
mine.
I'm interject here and tell me how much that smokes his.
He said flyers. Yes. Okay, let's just, we'll come back to that. no, I was thinking immediately, and I think that's a great point. As far as like, if you're talking about a trainer that is independent versus somebody that's inside the corporate world, so this is different. If you're an independent trainer, one of the biggest mistakes that I see is that the trainer brands himself as basically like a company, like it just makes up some random name. And I'm guilty of this too, because what I've found in my experience is that people are buying you. You are the product.
Good point. Very
and,
good point.
And so like for me to wrap myself around some like stupid name that I came up with that I think is cool and it's got a great logo and all
which,
this kind of stuff.
In your defense, being a guy who went through school and business,
yeah.
Right? Business tells you to do that, right? Think big. Think long-term future. In 20 years,
yeah,
I'm not going to
have employees.
I'm not going to be Justin Andrews Fitness. Dude, everybody working for me. I'm going to be Google.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're not going to have employees, you know, unless you actually have a gym and then that's your whole.
Yeah, nobody wants to work out with Synergy. You know what I mean? They want to work out with Justin Andrews.
That's it. It's Justin Andrews. And so then I started marketing and promoting myself as Justin Andrews. I had way better, return from that and like efforts and people responding to that, because not only that, but then I put my phone number. It's like me, my phone number, you know, like cut to the chase. Like all this other shit is fluff.
Yeah. People want, people should know your name if you're a trainer. That's how you get yourself out there. They know you, they know your name, they know your face.
Now after listening to those two good ones, can you come up with a better one now? Or
get your full name and last name domain if you can.
Well, I'm talking about, look, the average trainer that's listening right now is thinking for themselves, and very few of them are thinking about doing body, you know, Shakeology and Herbalife. That's why that didn't even pop in my head. I've never had a trainer work for me do that, but I know I have known other people doing it. But I know I have known most trainers start as personal trainers independently, and every single one of them makes a mistake of investing $500 on, you know, 5,000 flyers and getting nothing in return. I've seen that happen 5 trillion times. That's why I call that out. But I'll tell you one of the best things you could do, because we're giving you the worst mistakes. Here's one of the best things you could fucking do. Literally, stand outside your gym and go up to people and offer a free assessment and book one. I swear to God, that alone is the easiest fucking thing you could do. It sounds stupid. It's super easy. I could stand outside any gym and book at least one assessment in a couple hours.
Well, all you need is them in front of you. I mean,
that's
it. You get this rapport, you get everything started turning in the right direction. It's just like, just get in front of me. Anything I can do to get you in front of me, I'm going
to
close you.
You just go out and just introduce yourself to people. When I first bought my gym, I went to all the businesses around and offered every single owner there free personal training for a while, because I knew they'd refer people. And then I'd stand outside my door, introduce myself. I just own this gym. I'm new. Here's my name, Sal. Would you like to schedule an assessment? And that's all I did. Years later, I had a trainer come work for me. Her name is Megan. She might be listening right now. And she had no clients. And she is a sponge. And she literally did exactly what I told her. She said, what should I do? I said, live here at the gym, sit outside the store and talk to people. And a year later, she bought my gym off me.
Your net worth is your net circle. Mm. If you guys haven't tuned in and watched it, I'm talking to all you guys right now too. I think Doug said he watched one. Showtime Billions. There's a free plug for them for that. That's a great.
Your circle is your net worth.
Net circle is your
net.
Your
Lord
true
net
worth.
Jason said that too.
Oh, did he say?
Yeah,
Oh, great show. I'm on. It's just started. It's only on episode 4 or 5.
You guys are in the same frequency.
Yeah. No. Great. Great. Great show for sure. But yeah. No. Your true net worth is your net circle. Mm-hmm. I mean, building those relationships is. I think what by far one of the best things you could.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you think of your goal as a personal trainer to book assessments, not sell training, but to book assessments, and then when the assessments come in, your goal is to sell training. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to sell training standing outside the gym introducing yourself to people. So don't even try. Your goal is simply to get them to schedule an appointment and to get them to show up. Once you get that to happen, before you know it, you'll have a full schedule. It's literally that hard. It's not that hard. Imagine if you booked. All you did was book one or two assessments a day. That's all you'd need to do. Within a couple months, you'd have some clients. So it's really not that hard. It's hard in the sense that people don't like to do that. I know especially trainers, for whatever reason. They're like afraid to go talk to people. You know,
it's very common. It's very, very common. Yeah.
They'd rather make a website. They'd rather make all kinds of other shit and design a wonderful flyer than just go outside and shake someone's hand, which is pretty crazy.
Next question is from Jenny May Lisa Lee. She wants your thoughts on body weight set point theory. And the second part of the question is, do you think it's possible to change this set point long term?
Ooh, I like this one.
So the body weight set point theory basically says that you have a body weight number that your body wants you at.
Right.
Like, and if you go over it,
it's best acclimated at this weight. And
at anything this weight.
You do. Is either going to be harder or easier for you to attain, you know, the further away you get from the set point.
So first of all, before you get all scientific on it, because I know you love to dive in right away, let's go around here. Do you believe in it? Do you not believe in it? What's your...
First of all, of course, you have your genetic body, so there's going to be a range. Like, I can never weigh, you know, 300 pounds of muscle, or I can never weigh, you know, 80 pounds of lean body mass. So there's definitely going to be a range based on your genetics. But the body weight set point theory is bullshit. It was created by the diet companies, by supplement companies, by workout companies to somehow sell you on the fact that they can change your set point. And so it was a new way to promote their programs. Like, we can move your set point, and now your body will always stay at this new leaner body weight. The reality is that, no, it's up to your lifestyle, how you live, how you move. I could take a bunch of people who think their set point puts them at fat, and I can throw them in the Amazon and have them live with a bunch of Amazonians like them. And guess what? Their set point's going to be different.
It sounds like an excuse.
You know, he can't possibly say yes or no without fucking going into a large detail like I'm just asking not to do.
I fucking said,
just give me a yes or no without giving all the fucking science behind it, because now it just ruins it for Justin and myself to say, like, of course not. It's not either. But it would be nice for us.
I took all the luster.
Scientific thunder.
Jesus.
I ate all the vanilla.
Scientific thunder.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, this is for sure not true, and I'm living proof of that. I mean, for a long period of my my body fully matured as a man, and I'm not growing anymore. I did fall into this kind of weight range where my body wanted to always kind of be happy at it, and if I discipline really hard. On gaining and bulking up or whatever, I'd add 10 or 15 pounds. And then the moment I stopped thinking about it, my body would kind of naturally go back down that 10 to 15 pounds. But over a course of years, and of course of me educating myself and learning how to train the body properly, I've added pounds, like one and small amount, 3 pounds to 5 pounds of muscle every single year. And that adds up over a course of 15 years of training. And now my set point is, I'm a 30 to 40 pound different man what I was 10 years ago, you know? And
well, doesn't it kind of also remind you of BMI, like how like a physician would prescribe you to be like a specific body weight?
How stupid that
you're
is.
Like, you're an idiot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like over 200 pounds, does that really mean that I'm going to die?
Yeah.
You
know? No,
you're not accounting for any of my muscle mass.
Do they still have those in some of the doctor's office? Those are awful.
Of course they do.
BMI is still there. Look, it's stupid. Cut your leg off. Oh, your weight went down. Your BMI is lower. You must be healthier.
Good job.
No, that's not what happened.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm considered obese in that. Yeah.
All of us are.
Yeah, we all are.
All of us are. We're all fat asses.
Yeah.
So, you know, look at this.
Could be true.
The average American for their height is going to is heavier than the average. I don't know, other nationality, you know, maybe a European nationality. So does that mean we have a higher set point? Does that mean our genes are different. No, we all evolve the same. We're not that different. Humans are all pretty similar. The set point theory was a marketing technique. It was real popular in the 90s. I remember they'd have like these diet, you know, these, you know, when you'd watch late night TV and they'd have these diet, like, you know, buy our diet book. And they'd be like,
trick your set point.
Yeah, we could change your set point. And it's just like, oh, that's fucking brilliant marketing. Yeah, like, everybody else is making me lose weight.
That's where that came from.
That's where it came from.
Diet for your body type.
Which is probably exactly why Jenny's asking this question. I'm sure she's seen it
marketed. I'm a pear.
Marketed to us. And that... Which is why she also is following up with, do we believe it can change it? So, okay, now I'm glad you put that out, because now here's a thing that I hope she's not listening to somebody tell her that right now, that, hey, you can change your set point, and is marketing that to her, and then we're agreeing that you can change. Yes, you can change your set point.
But there was no set point to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. There was no set point to begin with. And here's Doug brought something up when he was writing the question. He was writing the question, and he made a comment about our habits. You know, what we tend to do is we tend to go back to whatever our habits are.
And there's your set point.
And exactly. You've created that, though. You've created those habits. Do you skip breakfast all the time? Do you always eat this at this time? Do you typically, you know, overeat on Friday nights? And then, you know what I'm saying? You kind of have these patterns where humans, we fall into these patterns and eating patterns and exercise patterns, and we create these set points.
And that's why when they did this marketing and they said set point, it rang a bunch of bells. That's why everybody, it resonated. They're like, oh my God, you're right. No matter what I do,
it's another crutch.
I'm 230 pounds.
It's a crutch that people can gravitate towards like flies.
Right, because you got to change. You want to change your set point, you just change the way you live. And so in reality, there is no set point. It all has to do with how you live.
Yeah.
Of course, there's limits to that. You know, you're not going to get taller if you're already, you know, a certain height. You're not going to gain mass amounts of weight or lose mass amounts of weight if you're with, you know, outside your genetic capability. But other than that, no, it's up to you. It's all marketing.
That being said, too, you know,
predestiny, man.
No, what is that when you continue to do the same thing over and over, expecting a different
insanity?
Yeah, insanity. Yeah. Definition of insanity is, you know, continuing to do the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I mean, that's what happens to most of these people, is they're searching for all this stuff, but they just keep going back to the same patterns, you know, whether it be they train
really
a certain
works
intensity.
Best for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's,
I get that a lot.
You dictate that set point.
Cullen Slayer is asking about challenges with working with childhood obesity clients and any tips you may have.
Oh, wow.
Childhood.
Doesn't that name, though, doesn't that sound like a Highlander?
Cullen Slayer.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, I've been working out to Slayer a lot.
Oh,
lately.
Slayer?
I forgot all about Slayer.
Oh, dude.
I hate that.
That's
when I forget about the awesome shit.
Did you see the text I sent you guys? I haven't listened to Godsmack in forever.
Oh, I love Godsmack. Oh, yeah. They're always on my playlist. But Slayer, I forgot all about them. And Anthrax, like, I forgot about Pantera.
Angel of Death!
I had to listen to Pantera for like 2 years. Put Pantera on the other day.
Of course.
And I broke the fucking bar.
Yeah.
I broke the barbell.
Stupid.
Yeah. So let's answer this question.
Five veins that pop out
I have
my
no
head.
Idea what that has to do with fat
I don't
kids.
Know, but here's
the,
get it out.
That's fucked up.
Wait, what?
Chubby. So here's the deal with kids, working with kids who are obese. The challenge is the parents.
Yeah.
100% the parents.
Yeah.
It is not the kids. Because,
don't tell me that, Sal.
I'm sorry. You buy the food that your kids eat. They don't have a car. They can't go buy food.
Right.
So you're in control of that shit.
That's right.
And by the way, if your kid is overweight and you're overweight,
it's kind of a
then there's a pattern.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a pattern going on.
Yeah.
So it's gonna have to happen in the whole family. And very rarely do I see one member of a family losing weight while the others stay in shape, especially if that member of the family is a child.
Well, and that's the hardest thing. You look at these like TV shows where they just exaggerate the environment, so it makes it so it's like achievable to lose all this weight and be fantastic and have all these results, and then they get home and there's just no support. Everybody has these shitty habits, and it's just such an impossible thing to battle. So, you know, if you want to think of that as far as like your own household, like with kids, like it's definitely a priority
It's look, if you're the parent in the house, it's you rule the house. Number one, kids learn from example. So if you sit around all day you eat shitty, then it's gonna be very difficult to tell your kids to do otherwise. It's almost impossible. You're better off doing it with them. Now, if you are doing that kind of stuff and your kid still has issues, turn all the electronics off. I mean, you make the rules in the house. You just be like, okay, you know, son, you get 30 minutes of electronics when you come home from school, and then that's it. And I guarantee
find
you,
outlets for them to move.
That's it. And I guarantee you they will figure out some shit to do that involves movement.
Yeah.
They will complain, piss, and moan for about a week and cry and whatever. And then next thing you know, they're outside doing shit. And I know myself, I'm guilty of this sometimes. Like, your kids go outside, all of a sudden you have to pay attention to them, what they're doing.
Yeah.
They come in, they're dirty. You're like, fuck, you brought mud in the house.
You got to get in the bath.
It's so much easier to be like, put on the TV, you know, or get on your computer and your iPad and not do anything.
Yeah.
But the reality is it starts with the parents. So anytime I've had a challenge, it was with the parents. Well, every single time.
I want you guys to talk about something that you've talked about before is learning how to address the kid too.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because I think out of all the things I've heard you guys talk about, that's probably one that will forever stick with me. And I know that me going forward raising a child, that would be something that I would be conscious of, and I never had thought about until you guys had talked about that.
Yeah, 100%. Adam's talking about how you bring this issue up with a child who is overweight, and what you don't want to do is you don't want to associate the exercise and diet with weight loss or you're fat or you're skinny or we need to make you look better,
right?
Because a child can and usually will, if this becomes the center focus of them, of their life, will become an issue for them later on in life. It'll become a body image issue, and that can be defeating. It could defeat the whole purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to word it in a way of, this is fun, this is good for you, we're doing this together. Yeah. It's
going to make you feel really great.
It makes you feel smarter when you do your homework. It makes you, it's healthier for you.
Work harder.
That's it. Yeah. Make it in those terms, in terms of positivity and not in terms of appearance. Otherwise, it won't be good. I've seen it, you know, with kids, where, you know, I've trained girls, I trained pageant competitors. Oh my God. You want to talk about body image issues, man. They make bodybuilders look like the most secure people on earth. And some of these pageant competitors would come in. God. And these are young girls, dude, 17 years old.
Those things are so ridiculous.
And they're talking about, you know, bulimia and, you know, I take these diet pills, and their moms will come in with them and hire me, and they'll tell me, my daughter's flabby here, and they'll grab their daughter's freaking love handle or whatever, or the back of their leg. And do you see the cellulite? Can you make the cellulite go away? And I have more than once giving the parents extremely dirty look, taking them outside and letting them know exactly how it's going to work if they hire me, and how that is completely inappropriate. And if I hear them say that again, I won't train
them.
I've
actually never had that.
I'll train a pageant competitor and you'll see some.
That's
crazy shit.
You know, it's no, thank you. Have you ever had that, Jess? I've never had that.
It was
like I thought I've trained everything.
Not a pageant kid.
No.
But like he's saying, like I've had a parent before sort of address the obesity part of it is like, yeah, he just sits around and eats, like, you know, nachos and like doesn't do anything. He's not doing anything in his life, like totally belittling this kid.
Yeah.
Like right in front of me. And I just had to stop him. And I was like, look, you know, like we'll address all these issues and all this stuff. Let's make this fun. You know what I mean? Like the kid is here. I'm not going to make this a torturous thing. Like, this isn't just about me being drill sergeant and like, you're losing weight because you're fat and nah. It's like, wow, look at this like new thing that we can experience and like, you know, get educated about yourself and like how to move better, how to feel better, how to like, you know, apply things and like, you know, really creating this tool for this kid to, you know, adopt to the concept of it. Like, you know, like what are you into? You know, what are you into? Oh, find out that really like swimming. Oh, awesome. Guess what? Like, let's just swim. Let's go swim. Let's go do that. Let's get you out in the ocean. You know, let's find things like surrounding these interests, you know, that we can really like get this kid associated with. And it's just like, I don't want to get in there and grind the weights and like have them do jump rope and burpees.
Very,
and all
very
things.
Few kids find that fun.
You know,
there's
what
some
I'm saying?
Kids that find it fun.
Yeah.
But they will not have an issue with childhood obesity. I've had a couple clients like that.
They just need to move and have fun.
That's it. That's it. And, you know, it's funny. I just actually got a message from the Instagram page, Modern Day Dads. And he wanted me to do a post and talk about school lunches and stuff. And I haven't done it yet, but I did a little bit of research. I looked up pictures of average school lunches in America. Holy shit. Have you seen? Yeah. I forgot what they look like. It's basically starch, processed meat, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
There's like nothing else in these school lunches. And this is what we're feeding the kids. And why? Because it's cheap, because it's all subsidized corn and wheat.
It's a dinosaur
and shit.
System that won't go away.
And it's no wonder that we have this problem. This is what we're giving our children in schools as well. Very scary stuff. Very, very scary.
Then we're cutting out physical activity, you know, like programmings and all these things. That's the first thing to go is the physical, like the sporting events, the after school things, like all these things where kids would actually like move around and get extra movement in their day other than just sitting there, you know, being sedentary all day, trying to absorb whatever it is the teacher's like throwing at them.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that type 2 diabetes was called adult onset diabetes. That was the name of it. It wasn't mm-hmm. type 2.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call it. It wasn't
they
that long
to,
ago.
They had to change that.
It was like the 90s when it was adult onset diabetes. Now it's type 2 because kids get it.
Yeah.
It's no longer adults that develop it. Children get type
and
2
you know,
diabetes.
You know what else is interesting? The posture is a real factor to this childhood obesity epidemic. And what's interesting is just the way that like ergonomically we have these desks set up and we have all these like sedentary long-term like classes like all scheduled. And these kids, they never, they're always in this state of hunched over, you know, protracted shoulders, and they're never getting this proper extension. And that's why I respect this guy, this Dr. Ed Thomas. He's created this whole new protocol for schools, like in Iowa, I believe. And he actually has a specific type of a seat where it keeps them upright and they have to engage their core. And they're guess what? They're
more you know, probably, right?
Yeah, their academics are like superior to surrounding schools because they're so focused and they take breaks. They take breaks and they do these like calisthenics. Because it's important. Guess what? Like learning and moving are simultaneous. Like it's a pair that needs to happen in order for you to absorb and learn properly.
Well, do you know how kids learn? Kids learn through play.
Yeah.
That's how kids learn, through movement and touch and play, not through sitting and watching.
Could you imagine the three of us like in our later on being like teachers and like a regular like, English teacher or math teacher or like that, and like with the stuff that we would implement?
Oh yeah.
And imagine like someone walking down the hallway looking at him, what the fuck?
John squatted 325 kilograms. How many pounds is that?
Yeah.
Math class.
Yeah. That's great.
Sean P. 6298, posterior imbalances that cause knee pain.
Oh, you must be talking about the posterior chain. Did you forget to put chain there, Doug?
I must have.
Okay. So he's talking about weak.
About my posterior.
Imbalances in the hips.
We'll talk about the posterior chain first.
The posterior chain represents all the muscles that represent extension in the body, mm-hmm. and they're all on the backside of the body. So that's everything from erector spinae, you know, even the lats can even be considered some of the posterior chain. Mm-hmm. But the main ones that he's talking about are the glutes, hamstrings. Yeah, glutes, hamstrings, and calves, I would mm-hmm. say. Basically the muscles that make the lumbopelvic hip area, mm-hmm. And why imbalances there can cause knee pain. We talked about this a little bit in the imbalances episode, I believe, which we have already aired. if your hips are weak and the hips are super mobile, they can move in all kinds of different directions and they're very dynamic. The knees are not even close to as dynamic in the hips mm-hmm. as the hips. They can just flex and extend. And so if my hips are weak or tight, then the ligaments of my knee tend to have to support that weakness because the knees don't move in the same directions that the hips do. And so it tends to cause knee pain. Not only that, but having poor hip extension causes tracking issues with the kneecap right. and all kinds of issues. So weak hips almost always will cause a dysfunction in the knee joint.
Well, and also like
and
if you
tight.
Don't have strong posterior chain, like you don't have strong hamstrings, glutes, like you're not going to be able to decelerate properly. And this is a lot of times where a lot of people get injuries because of that imbalance. Like you're so dominant, you know, with your anterior chain.
Well, it's also probably why one of the most common injuries is a hamstring being blown for athletes. Baseball player running to first base, wide receiver catching a touchdown. His hamstring blows and goes because his quad is so quad dominant. He's pedaling so hard with his quads, but his hamstrings can't keep up with his quads and end up going and they give.
Right. Yeah, so, if you think of running really fast, right? you push off the floor, your foot comes up, then you go to extend that foot real quick to hit the ground again. That's where the hamstring tear comes because the hamstring is in that particular point decelerating the extension of the knee mm-hmm. and then quickly transferring to extension of the hip.
Yep.
And if the hamstring is weak and the quad and the hip flexor are strong, they're going to extend that knee real fast and that hamstring can't keep up.
Boom.
And it tears. Snap. Same reason why people will tear like, a muscle in the rotator cuff, because again, it's a muscle responsible for deceleration.
Mm-hmm.
Hips, if you keep your hips strong, your knees will likely be healthy and your lower back will likely be healthy. And you'll be a fucking kick-ass athlete. Actually, if you want to be a powerful athlete, you have to have strong hips. Yeah. I can't think of a single sport.
Yeah, I'd say all sports. Yeah.
Where these guys and girls don't have powerful hips.
Yeah. You think a guy punching, it's all in his arm? Yeah.
No, it's coming from his hips.
Yeah.
It's like a whip.
Yep.
You know, and the hand is the end of that whip.
It generates it. Yep.
So for people who start squatting, a lot of times I recommend that they do things like single leg toe touches, hip thrusts off the floor. You know, exercise that strength and that hip extension. Mm-hmm. And then when we go do a squat, you could see them firing properly. Yeah. Otherwise, you get the squat. Like, you know, when you do your squat assessment and the person tries to do a squat and they go down the squat and the knees move way forward.
Yeah.
And the butt kind of tucks. Heels come off the floor. Boom. You know, right away, hips are not firing the way they should.
Hip. Keep in mind, too, when we talk about hip strength, too, we're including mobility in there.
Sure.
Because that's an important part of that, too, is being able to.
It's just as important.
Because, you know, some people might be able to squat pretty good or might have, you know, strong hips because they're powerful because they do one movement like that. But if they don't incorporate other movements or
supported increased range of motion.
Yes.
In case, yeah.
Exactly. So then you could be over tight, right? Overactive in your hip area, which could end up causing pain down there, too, because now everything's shortened and contracted and you're having a hard time moving through full range of motion. So along with strength is also, you know, mobility. So
I would say with mobility, you see a lot of, if you have poor hip mobility, you see meniscus tears, right? Quite common because the hip also rotates. So if I stick my foot out, my leg straight, I can rotate my toes so that they can point in and I can rotate my toes so that they point out. And so what I'm doing there is internal and external rotation at the hip. The knee doesn't do that. Obviously my knee stays the same. But the knee has has something called a meniscus that prevents it from twisting. It holds it in place so it doesn't twist. If I plant my foot and twist and turn and push off and my hips are tight, the meniscus has to do more work to support the knee. Yeah. And if the hips are tight and I turn, that meniscus is going to be under a lot of strain and then I get meniscus tears. And meniscus tears are probably one of the more common minor knee injuries we see in the gyms, and it's because of mobility.
Yeah, and we're also very, very, very different. We've all had that friend who could stand there and open their feet completely all the way open or pigeon toe themselves all the way in because they've got that great range of motion. That's totally genetic. That person has something like that.
A lot of that. You can improve it. I mean, I have poor internal rotation. I have great external rotation. So I know if I get twisted the other way, I know I'm at risk for meniscus tear, but I work on it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Final question. Joseph Aulua 89, do you have any phobias?
Adam should go first.
Oh, really?
Clowns!
My phobia, and it was caused by being young. When we were younger, we would run out of toilet paper. And that's,
what?
Yeah.
What would you wipe your butt with?
Well, you know, it ended up being like paper towels or tissue paper or whatever the fuck you could hope you get your hands on.
This is where the baby wipes came in, huh?
Yeah. Well, this is where, like, I'm, you know, this is a big thing for me. So I have a phobia. So,
you had to walk around with like mud butt?
Have I ever told the
mud butt?
Have I ever told the toilet paper story? Have I told the toilet paper story why, like, my.
Fucking tell it.
I mean, you told everything else about your butthole.
All my clients give me toilet paper every year for my birthday. And I never told
you. Do they really?
What? Yeah. So, okay. Well, here, this is how this works. Out. So
I'm in the dark on this one.
Those that have been trainers for a long time know that lots of, you know, your clients, especially your loyal clients, have been with you for a long time, you know, buy gifts for you. And sometimes they buy really nice gifts, especially when they've been with you for a really long time. I think I have talked in previous episodes about I have this condition where I'm a horrible receiver. Just because I've learned to numb myself.
He's a great giver, though.
He's a great pounder. You know what I'm saying? He's a topper.
You guys are too much. Yes, I am. I do enjoy giving.
I didn't want to give him the green light.
I don't do so well with receiving. So, I got so uncomfortable all the time during my birthday that finally I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to keep it real with all my people and say, you know, please don't give me gifts. You know, if you are going to get me something, then get me something that I will use and I need and I'll appreciate you won't be expecting this huge thing from me. I said, for example, I always have to have toilet paper backup on my toilet paper. And that's because, like I said, when I was a kid, we'd run out and then there was nothing like wiping your butt with McDonald's, you know, paper towels or napkins or whatever. That's forever scorned.
Cheeseburger wrapper.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Whatever. Dude, you know, so it's been rough before. Right. So, because of that,
it's waxy.
You could always guarantee you can come to my house.
Aluminum foil.
And even if you think we're out of toilet paper, I have toilet paper stashed throughout my whole house. And I've, got told all my clients.
Stashed?
Yeah, I do. Just got, emergency.
It's like, your zombie apocalypse kit.
Hey, you got any sawdust?
What?
So, yeah, so now my clients, they forever now, it's a big joke, but it's pretty neat. Normally, I get enough toilet paper that I actually don't have to buy toilet paper anymore. My clients buy me enough that ends up lasting me the entire year.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I'm so excited to get it every time because I think it's the funniest thing ever that they do that. It's cheap. They cost them probably $20 to give me a gift, and I light up like a Christmas tree. And they don't go spend $500-$600 on me and wonder why the fuck I didn't give them like
what. What is the best toilet paper?
Yeah.
What is the best?
Yeah.
Is there like a quad like quilted?
Because I think you would know because you're so into this.
I don't have to be crazy with the 3-ply. I'm a 2-ply Charmin guy. Ooh. And then for me, the wipes, that's everything, though. The wipes is everything.
Though the wet wipes?
That's my finisher, my finishing exercise.
That's your finishing?
it's not the big bang for your buck. The Charmin double ply is without that, you're
that's
fucked.
That's the bulldozer.
Yeah, exactly. That's my squat and my deadlift.
Then bulldozer.
Yeah, it's my squat.
And you follow up.
Excavator.
Yeah, that's your.
Scoops it.
That's your big sandpaper or whatever.
And then I follow up.
Then and then you go to the finishing, the fine grade.
Then I get my good wipes, which is there's my plug for my favorite wipe for my ass.
Oh, good wipes.
Good wipes, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yep.
You do smell nice.
Thank you.
Down there.
What? That's my phobia, is to run out of toilet paper is like my biggest fear.
That would suck, though, if you did.
And you get it, don't you?
Yeah, I do get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just do what I do.
What's that?
You just use the hand towel, throw out the window. Yeah. Hope nobody finds it.
Just take a shower. Put the hose in your ass.
It works.
A little boudoir.
Europeans
do it.
Or bidet. What is it? Bidet, boudoir? What is it?
It's a bidet. Yeah, it's a
bidet. Bidet. I knew I was close.
You weren't even close.
Fuck you, I was close, dude.
A bendeg. Bendago.
Excuse me. Can I use your bendago?
Bendago.
This is my show. I can make whatever I want.
I have to poop.
I can speak up whatever words I want.
I don't have toilet paper, but do you got a bendago?
Do you have a bendago for my ass? All right. Settle down. So my
phobia.
Here's my phobia. This is a real one, man. And you guys know this. You guys have seen this.
Oh, God.
I will start with this statement right here. The greatest invention for me of mankind is navigation system.
Navigation system.
I would give up fire. If I had to choose between fire and navigation system, I'd give up fire. I'd be like, fuck it. I'll never have fire again. That's how important navigation system. I have the sense of direction. I am so bad with direction. I'm so bad that I could literally, I could drive to the same place every day for 5 years, not drive there for 2 months, and not remember how to get
Can
there.
Can I just say he is...
I get fucking lost everywhere.
He is so bad that, okay, we carpool.
I'm so bad I make Adam look like a fucking genius.
And I'm bad. Yeah, I'm bad. I am bad. But listen, we carpooled. Sal and I live like really close to each other. We're not, but maybe... Right, we're really
very close.
Very close, right?
Yeah.
And
like extremely
we
close.
We carpool together the other day, and he's driving, and I'm in the passenger seat, and I'm like texting, and then I realize he's about to miss our exit to head to fucking Mind Pump, our studio. And I'm like, hey, bro, you gotta get off right here. And I'm like, can I not text while you drive or what? Is that a fucking gonna be an issue? He's like, bro, you know how I am with directions. I'm like, we're going to the goddamn studio that we've been going to for this at least 3 times a week for the last year. You still don't know how to get there?
Dude.
Real talk, bro.
Dude, it's real talk. It's horrible. I'll get lost. It's not just driving, it's just my sense of direction. Like, I'll go inside a building. And I'll come out and I'll be like, where the fuck is the exit? Like, where's the exit? I've been lost in buildings before, bro.
Oh, my God.
I'll fucking park somewhere. And I've been left before. You have?
Yeah.
What do you mean left?
Like, when I was in this big flea market. You know that flea market in San Jose?
Yeah.
You just left me there.
So this is one of the reasons why I tend to live in the same place I grew up. But I don't fucking, because I have this fear of it. But now that we have this navigation systems on our phones and shit. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Mm.
I'm fucking safe, man.
Yeah,
you know, it's like fucking having toilet paper all the time.
Well, I'm bad. Thank you, Siri. I'm bad with that too.
I have a phobia though.
Now,
do you have a phobia of getting lost?
No.
See, I do because I used to get lost when I first got my license, and it was fucking. I would get lost, and I'd be in the middle of God knows where. And this is before cell phones and shit. And I have to ask random people how to get places, and then I'd miss the turn for the directions. And I have to ask like 5 people by the time I get home, 5 hours later, almost out of gas. I'm like, I'm never going further than fucking two streets.
I have a silly one.
Okay, let me hear it.
It's totally not you know, like as crazy as that. But like my dad used to, every time I would go up the stairs as a kid, like he would grab my leg and then I would like freak out because like he was just, you know, just playing whatever, whatever. So to this day, like I jump skip up the stairs like really fast. I shit you not. You it's in my head. I don't want anybody grab my legs.
Oh, that's funny.
It like it's so stupid and like I know this is crazy, but like especially if it's like an open, you know, staircase.
Oh, where you go through the
like,
stairs?
Yeah, and it's like dark under there. I'm like, yeah, like sprint up it. Big time.
Do you guys remember when you were kids and you'd be in bed? I don't know about you guys, but I could not have my foot be outside the covers. Like it could be hot as fuck. Feet had to be covered.
Oh, yeah.
Because if my foot was out, something's going to fucking grab it.
Yeah, man.
And I got to put this protective blanket over
it. I put a fucking pillow over my face because I don't want to see demons.
Really? I hate to tell you, Justin, but when you put your face in the pillow, you're going to feel a demon.
Oh. Wait, not that way.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm on my back.
Yeah. Do you have any phobias, Doug?
Oh, you would ask me that. I don't know if I have any big phobias. I mean, I'm a little claustrophobic.
You don't like being in tight spaces.
This whole time you've been sitting over there, you didn't think about phobia. What are you doing over there? This whole time you've been sitting over there, you don't think about
phobia? I'm not sitting there thinking about my phobias. I'm listening to yours.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, okay, you see?
He has a phobia of getting asked what his phobia is.
That's
my phobia. Out of ass paper.
I know, right? Ask the guy who doesn't like being on the radio fucking a question when he's not ready.
Nah, it's not that I mind. It's just that I wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, it's okay. Thanks for listening to Mind Pump. Leave us a five star rating and review. You can find us at Mind Pump Radio on Instagram. You can find
Mind Pump Adam, Mind Pump Justin, Mind Pump Sal
at Instagram.
Or check out the Facebook page.
I wanted to steal your thunder.
MindPumpMedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.